If you have your Bibles with you, if you would, open your Bibles to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. And I'd like to speak a few minutes concerning what's there, and we'll talk about that. And this is what's known as the John chapter 15 is what's known as the fruit chapter. And it portrays Christ as the true vine. And so that's important. It's got to be important if it concerns our Savior, doesn't it, when it comes to our service to Him. I'll read the scripture, and then we'll come back and take a look at each verse as we go through. Jesus said, speaking to His disciples in chapter 15, and verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3 says, Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, and the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7 says, If ye abide in me, and my words abide in ye, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I keep my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my glory might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. In verse 14, ye are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. These verses right here are taken just from the account of what just happened just after the Passover feast. And chapter 14, before this chapter closes, with Jesus having said to his disciples, Arise and let us go. And this would be the last meal with them. It would be the last time spent together with them as a whole. So it's very important what he said to them. Jesus and his disciples left the upper room, and they made their way through the vineyards that grew around Jerusalem at the time. Jesus and the 11 disciples passed through the vineyards across the Tyropian Valley, through the by the walls of Jerusalem, and through the Kidron Valley, and up to the Garden of Gethsemane at the Mount of Olives. Now, no doubt the disciples were struggling, as you and I would have at this same time, understanding what Jesus was teaching or saying, because it was all something that they had heard before, but coming to reality was something I don't think they perceived that to happen. So he had reference to his return to the Father by means of his death, and they couldn't see how he could be king of Israel and return and be dead. He had But he was to die for that purpose. He had spoken about coming later, and the Comforter who would come and take his place in his absence and bring him back to him. Jesus had introduced them to the strange phrase, ye and me and I and you, in John 14:20. Jesus used that as a hand illustration that he would be teaching. He turned to the humble vine and gave this illustration. As I said, he was turned to the fruit of the vine, or the vine as it described this. Now, the actual culturing of plants is called horticulture. And you could title what this is right here is God's assured fruitfulness. In other words, If we do what Christ is telling us through these words right here, we are assured that we will be fruitful for him. That's his guarantee. He said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear more fruit. And that's what we should be doing. Now let's take these verses right here and talk about them. Verse 1 in John chapter 15 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Now out of the 14 I ams in the Bible, this I think is number 9. But he refers to himself, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Jesus himself is the vine. He used the term the true vine to indicate that he was fulfillment of the many illustrations of the Old Testament that had referred to the nation of Israel as the vine. Now he was not saying that the Israel was not a vine of the Lord, because they have referred to that in the Bible many times. But he was saying he is the perpetuation, the fulfillment of that prophecy. All of these prophecies in the Old Testament were leading up to what Christ was doing, or what Christ had accomplished and would accomplish. And he was the true vine. Israel was a figurative vine. He was the true vine. God was the gardener. So God did the pruning of the vines, and he removed those branches that did not bear fruit. Now in verse 2 it says every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now when God removes a fruit from a vine, it's because it's not bearing and it won't bear. Now Judas just had been removed from this gathering of people. There was 11 apostles now instead of 12 at this particular time, because God had saw fit to remove Judas from it. Judas had joined with Jesus and his disciples before, but he apparently had never been saved, because he shows no fruit. You won't find any fruit, anything that Judas did that accomplished anything for God while he was there. Now, verse 3 says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now, what he means by this is the words that I have spoken while you have sat under my teaching have brought you to the brink of salvation. In other words, you know what salvation is by now. You should know what salvation is. You know what my commands are. You know what my desires for your life and your lifestyle are, because you have been with me in my teaching. So that was one thing that he accomplished. Now, like Judas, who was not included in this group, it's sad to say, but in our churches today, there are people that profess to be saved that are not saved. And this is exactly how Judas was. Now, this is not, they are not going to bear fruit, because they're not of the vine. They're branches that are not of the vine. The second work of the Father was to prune and to purge the branches so that they would bear more fruit. This takes place, as we read in the Bible, when we commune with the Holy Spirit. God will take away the bad ideas and bad practices that we have and replace them with holy practices, and so we can serve him better. Now, the disciples had been cleansed and pruned and purged by the words that Christ had taught. Now, when you read Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, you see what the fruit bears is. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, and these work down into the other fruit: patience, loving kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. All of these result from love, joy, and peace. They're offshoots of these, just like a bunch of grapes. You know, they're offshoot from the branch that they're on, and that's what he's speaking about. Now, the eternal purpose of God is that we might be like Christ. In 1 John 3, 2, it says, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. Now, that's when we get to heaven. We're going to see Christ as he is, and we're going to be made like him. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? It's going to take a lot to change David to be fit for heaven. I can tell you that, but God's capable of doing that. I'm, I'm sure that he is, and he will at that time. Now, the pruning process sometimes is painful. Sometimes we've sat and watched pruning processes in other people, haven't we? Maybe we've experienced it in our own life. But it's necessary. It's necessary for that fruit to bear. We can't live the lifestyle that we want and bear fruit for Christ. It just won't happen. The natural man will not seek God. And so when God prunes us and trims us, he's doing us a favor. Now, it can hurt. Pruning can hurt. But it's for our best, and God knows the best. We have to accept the fact that he knows what's best for us even when we do not. And most times, I don't know about you, but I don't know most times. I should, but I don't. One of the most difficult lessons for us to learn is simply that God knows best, and he knows what he's doing in our lives all the time. That's a lesson that we could all learn from right there. No matter what happens, God knows best, and he's working for our betterment. If we're his children, he's working for our betterment. The second point I'd like to make is our responsibility. The points that I discussed there would have been the work of the Father in gaining that. So for our responsibility, verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branches cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Now verse 4 there is the illustration of the responsibility of bearing fruit is twofold. We must abide in Jesus, but Jesus has to abide in us. We can't claim Jesus unless he's claiming us at the same time. We remain in Jesus, live in him, and follow him, and abide in him. 1 John 3:2 says, we shall live and be like him, and shall see him as he is, as I mentioned earlier. And then there's something that Jesus does. He abides in us. We do not make this happen. We allow God to abide in us. And some people would argue that we don't make that decision. But I don't know if that's right or not. But I do know that God, when he abides in us, we have to be a willing spirit. You know, I've seen people fight God all their life and never gain salvation because they were so obstinate to God's calling. But we have to be open to him and receptive. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. We have to be open and receptive to what God wants to do in our life. It says, ye and me and I and you, John 14:20. You must accept the presence of Christ in our lives and must actively involve ourselves in his service. Now, you've seen people, and I have too, that maybe come and get saved and they just sit on a bench and they won't do anything, don't do anything, don't attempt to do anything. I'm not questioning their salvation, but the fact is, if they don't bear any fruit, what I've just read here and what I've just said wouldn't be true, would it? If they don't bear any fruit at all. Now, I'm not saying that they don't bear some that we don't see or things like that, but people that are following Christ will bear fruit of some form or fashion. Now, verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. This is hard for some people to accept, the fact that they can't do anything for God without the Holy Spirit providing the assistance to do that. But it's true. If the Holy Spirit is not within you, providing a path for you to serve him, then you won't serve him, just as I said earlier. Verse 6 says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now this describes a wasted life, is what this describes. I think what Christ is saying here, if a man does this and does not bear fruit, just as I was mentioning earlier, this life has been wasted for Christ. It can't accomplish what it should be accomplishing for Christ. You will have achieved nothing in God's sight. Wouldn't that be awful to think that, you stood before the master to give account of yourself, and he said, I can't find anything that's acceptable in my sight. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? So we need to be actively seeking to bear fruit, is exactly what these verses are saying. Without Jesus, we can never accomplish God's will in our life or in the churches or anywhere else. We can't without the help of the Holy Spirit. We must abide in him, and we must allow him to abide in us. Now, the definition of a wasted life is what we're talking about here. There's no matter how men may have applauded us for what we might do or what we might accomplish, or even envied us, the person becomes worthless if his work is burned in the fire of judgment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, it shall be revealed by fire all of our works. In other words, the fire is either going to consume our works, or it's going to try our works, and it's going to come back gold. So it's all going to be through the fire. Now, verse 7, move on. This is the fruit that is a result of what we do. If ye abide in me, verse 7, and my word abides in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. The first result of abiding in Jesus is having him abide in us and answering our prayers. We can ask what we will, and it shall be done unto us. Now, there's a very common misconception, I think, about this verse. People have assumed that this verse means that if you ask God, that he'll do just anything you want him to do. The problem is that doesn't line up with any scripture at all. We can ask what we will, and it will be done, but notice the important qualifications. First, we must abide in Jesus, and he must abide in us. When we do this, his will becomes our will. Prayer is not about getting what man wants done in heaven. Prayer is about getting what God wants done in earth. It's not about our wants. You know, God has promised to supply our needs. He has not promised to supply our greeds. And a lot of people get tied up on that, but the Bible really is not saying what some people think it's saying right here. Verse 8 says, herein my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit, so ye be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And verse 11 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. What Christ wants us to do is to be happy in serving him. He wants us to produce fruit. He wants us to produce good fruit. And he wants us to produce much fruit for him. And he wants us to be happy in doing that. If it becomes a drudgery for us to serve Christ, then we're serving him for the wrong reasons. It should be a pleasure. Now, standing here and doing what I'm doing, there's a little bit more work to this than you might think. If you've ever done it, you know what I'm talking about. But you can be happy about that because you know that you're serving Christ for the right reason. You know, you're serving him because you want to. And I think that's what that verse is saying. Our will has to coincide or mesh with God's will for us to be able to be happy and serving him. And I think that's what we have to remember, that what Christ is doing right here, he's preparing the disciples for his exit. They're going to have to live on their own, so to speak, for a while. And he's preparing them for that. So he's telling them that the best way for them to do and be prepared for what's to come is to stay close to God and allow the Holy Spirit to guide them. And they'll do that, and on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit will come, and they'll have to understand what he's saying about the coming of the Spirit as well. This is my commandment, verse 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. You know, the Bible says that we know that we have passed from death unto life by what? the love of the brethren. That's how we know. If you want to know how you're saved, find out look around and see if you love your brethren. That's what the Bible says. You know you have passed from death unto life by the love of the brethren. And it also says that you shall know them because they love one another. In other words, an outsider should be able to tell if we belong to Christ because he can see the love that we have one for another. And that's what this is saying. It's saying right here. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus told us that we have a commandment to love each other. Now, a commandment is not a suggestion. It's not a good idea. You know, in our opinion, a lot of times it might not be a good idea. But a commandment is different. A commandment is an order from God. So if we're His, if we're born again child of God, we have a commandment to love other Christians. You know, you don't have to like everybody all the time, but you've got to love them. There's a difference, you know. Some people can get under your skin, and you'll say, I just don't agree with that, or I don't agree with this, but you've got to love them anyway. See, they're your brothers and sisters. And I think that's what he wants us to see right there. Verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That was about to happen in a matter of hours. That's what he was telling them. Greater love hath no man than he would lay down his life for his friends. And that was about to come to reality for these disciples. And verse 14 finally says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. See, Jesus knew enough to know that what he commanded to them would be the right thing. See, he was God. He wasn't just a prophet. He was God. So he knew what was best for them. And he said, if you do these things, it's like when you tell your children, now you'll get hurt if you're doing so and so, you know. And they may say, well, you know, they just don't want me to do that, or they don't want me to have fun doing that. But we know best, see, and we're God's children, and He knows what's best for us. So what Jesus is saying, if you do these things that I tell you, then you'll be better for it. You'll be better off for it, and it'll be the best thing for you. Now, in conclusion, how can I find love and joy and peace? That's the fruit, isn't it? We have to abide in Him and allow Him to abide in us. We have to know that there's probably some purging and some pruning. Brother Hallie, he keeps all types of vines, and he has to prune them. You have to prune them to have things, don't you? You have to prune the things back. You have to take care of things. And we have to understand that if we're God's children, most likely there's going to be some pruning in our life. And we have to understand that that's God's way of helping us and correcting us when we're wrong. These were things that will sustain Jesus, and they will sustain us equally as well. The things that he said here is he knew was the best. Hebrews 12:2 says, look unto Jesus as author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy which was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He did that for who? He did that for you and me. He despised the shame that went with it. If we could only see Christ when he was beaten and bloody and hanging on that cross, knowing he did it for us, I believe it would change our opinion a lot. It would put us to work, wouldn't it? I believe it would. When we understand these things, and these verses, and apply them to our life, we can face situations in our life, and we can be conquerors through Christ, not in and of ourselves, but through him. We will not just survive or merely live through things. We will live an overcoming, victorious life, and we'll know what love, joy, and peace really are. The world looks for peace continually. You in the Middle East, they claim peace, peace, peace will come. There'll be no peace until Christ comes back to this earth. Man won't allow it. Man does not have a nature for peace. The people in the Middle East that fight continually, if they're not fighting somebody outside of their, they're fighting within. The world does not know what peace is. But I can attest to you that there will be a lasting peace one day. It'll be when Christ comes back. Well, this is some scattered thoughts, I know, hurriedly this afternoon, but I appreciate your kind attention. Appreciate you being here. You came back even though you knew I would probably be here. And I appreciate that, but let's just pray for each other and pray that God will use us and we'll be able to focus on that peace, love, and joy that we should have and demonstrate every day as Christian people. And I can assure you we'll live a much happier and a much more fulfilled life by doing that. If you would stand with me and we'll be dismissed.